Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, May 30th, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting the show tonight. My co-host is Charlie Klein, and we have a special guest, Bruce Olson. He was on our show last Thursday when we kicked off the Take America Back this Memorial Day campaign, and he's going to be joining us here, and he's going to give us an update on how the campaign is doing and what we should, what we still need to do, and just give us a progress report and answer any questions that you may have about the campaign. You know, it's up to us. It's up to the American people to take this country back. We've got to demand that those who are representing us or are supposed to be representing us in public office these days, it's up to us to demand that they follow the Constitution. And so the demands that we are making, the public notice of demand for the 112th Congress and then those at our state level, all we're asking these people to do is follow the Constitution. And that should seem like a pretty obvious thing, but it is obvious that they don't do it. So if you want to join the discussion, please call in 347-857-4364. That's 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to be placed in the host queue so that you can speak on the air. And then ask any questions you want. You can also join us in the chat room. The chat room is open, and you can go out there and you can post any questions or comments you want out there as well. So just go ahead and get this started. Again, this is a special show to talk about the campaign we have, Take Back America, this Memorial Day 2012. We got this kicked off on Memorial Day, and it's all about telling Congress to do their job, to follow the Constitution. And again, I'll let Bruce Olson give you the update and answer any questions you may have. Let me go ahead and get Charlie in here because he's my co-host tonight. And just, hey, Charlie, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, Sally.
Okay. We've definitely been getting a lot of positive response from people. This is the right thing to do. I mean, there's something seriously wrong if we can't ask our Congress to do their job and follow the Constitution. That's really all this comes down to. It's just not too much more to it than that. Well, I see that Bruce is out here, so I'm going to go ahead and get Bruce in on the discussion. Hey, Bruce, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, Sally. Hi, Charlie.
Hi there, Bruce. How are you doing?
Really good.
Good.
Well let me give you.
I'm going to go ahead and hand this over to you for
okay.
A full update. I know you've been getting all sorts of calls and emails all over the place, so go ahead and let us know what's going on.
Well, and Sally, put mute me, Sally. Okay.
Okay. I just muted you for a minute.
No, for a long time.
Okay,
I'll press one. I'll press one if I want to say something. I want to really listen to see what's going on.
Okay. Charlie's there listening, and he's going to let us know if he wants to chime in. And
okay.
Bruce,
we'll know if I say something wrong here because Charlie will be back. well, it's been a fun 4 days here since we started this on Saturday. The response has been really good. I actually got a little more than I bargained for. I've been getting email addresses from all over the country. I think I mentioned in our little data bank here when we started this, we had around 10,760 something. Well, we're over 15 now, and it's been an interesting thing. I mean, we've gotten email addresses from probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 states in the country. And the one thing that's been kind of surprising is the lack of hits on the particular pages. The first day we had 443. And then we had about 200 and some, 260 the next day. And it's running around 160 yesterday and today, which is kind of surprising. But considering that a lot of folks have gone back to work, this, that, and the other. It's kind of the way it goes. But the emails that I've gotten has been overwhelming. We normally get several hundred a day, and I didn't count them today, but I know we were pushing 700 emails today. So, yeah, and a couple of comments that came in were that, you know, some of the mail that was going out, not from me, but from different folks around the country, were bashing different candidates instead of, and then including the We the People demand letter. And I did get two emails from folks that said, you know, we'll pick our candidate, but you need to be concentrating on Obama, and which is I 100% agree with. We really need to keep on target. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know if it's because of what we're doing. I'd like to think we've got something to do with it, but today, the internet, the news, the political site on Yahoo had five or six different leaders, if you will, on the eligibility issue. Yesterday, on CNBC, Joe Kernan, who is a conservative, he's probably the only conservative on CNBC, but he had Donald Trump on there. And I mean, Donald Trump didn't pull any punches, and Joe let him go. And I was watching the rest of the panel there, and they were squirming around. And then today I got an email that this guy up in Michigan that's now running for the Senate, Hoekstra, made a statement that the CIA and the FBI should be investigating eligibility of candidates. Hello. So, yeah. You know, there's a lot of effort out there going on this. And I hope that, you know, we're playing some role in that. But at the end of the day, we've got to stay focused. And this is just getting started. And one of the things that, you know, I've learned, and anybody that's been around this game for any length of time knows, is people don't really start paying attention to politics and candidates until 5 or 6 months before the election. And now, with this eligibility thing really coming alive, they are going to start paying attention. So we really need to hammer this home. And I'm pumped. I was excited about what I saw on the internet today. The emails were great. One guy sent me, I don't know, it was three wide and about 41 or 42 long of addresses. And of course, we're going to log them all in, because going forward, we got some other, you know, with this issue, we got some other things in mind down the road. But right now, I see some real positive results of our efforts and other people's efforts, that, you know, the Obama challenge and what you guys have done down there, Sally. And I feel good about it. We're going to get this done. I'm convinced.
I have to tell you, there, you know, with, Donald Trump being this endorser of Romney and all this other stuff that's going on there, and, you know, Donald Trump had pretty much backed off on the birther issue and everything else, but you can't help but wonder if it didn't get back around to him that this major campaign was being launched. And, I mean, obviously Donald Trump would have known what Arpaio, Sheriff Arpaio, was doing and stuff like that. But the timing here is just very interesting. I'll just put it that way. I think it's interesting that Donald Trump is getting a little bit more engaged in this discussion right as we start this campaign. So I happen to think that what we're doing is getting out there. The other thing with Mark Levine, apparently Mark Levine is coming on board saying some stuff about it too. Mm-hmm. And I just think, this has just happened since we started this campaign. So I have a feeling that they realize the momentum is growing, and now it's safe for them to say it again.
Yeah. Well,
who
I can tell
you. Romney thinks, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I can tell you, Sally, that I know that Levine got this information. I know that Donald Trump's office got this information, and not just from me, because I saw in several of the lists of addresses that came in to me, the ones I had a chance to scan because of time, several people had the Trump office and the former Trump campaign email address in their list. So, you know, and you're right. They've gotten a message. And see, you know, all they had to do was forward the email that we sent out and not hit the link. And I have no way to track that. Now, whoever hits the link, I was looking at the site tracking here a little while ago, and Miami hit it. Oh, man. There's probably 50 hits out of Miami, Florida today. And that's a Democrat. Dade County's Democratic. So, you know, we've either stirred the pot down there or we've got a good patriot down there somewhere. So.
Well, that was John. We had a gentleman by the name of John. I cannot remember what his last name is. But he had called in, and he was part of the Obama ballot challenge, which is down in South Florida.
Okay.
And I have seen some emails come from him. I've gotten some of his emails today. So you're absolutely right. Miami is roaring down there. And, you know, it's just like you said, these people are thinking that this is the stereotyping of Democrats and stuff. But this is a national issue. It's a national issue. There's something seriously wrong when we have a president who openly admitted he was born in Kenya. I saw the other thing today where when he was running for running for the Senate in 2004, where he was proudly mentioning, you know, he was from Kenya and everything else. It's like, okay, he's from Kenya when it suits him, but when it's not, when he wants to run for president, you know, these people have failed to do their job, which is representing us and following the Constitution.
And those videos have been out for 4 years. I mean,
yeah.
I was posting those videos of him blathering when he was running for the Senate 4 years ago. I mean, this is nothing new for a lot of folks. Another guy that came out today was Governor Patterson. You know, says, looks like Obama got away with one.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so what are they going to do about it? He got away with one, and we're going to let him get away with it again? Or are
yeah.
we going to do something about it?
That's right. So
and then, yeah,
I think we're stirring the pot, and like I said the other day, we got to turn the heat up, but we got to stay focused. We got to stay focused, and because we cannot allow this guy to make it to the election. He cannot be on the ballots. And, you know, just the mere fact that if he makes it to the ballots tells you that these Secretary of States and these boards and governors are, you know, have accepted the fact that, okay, yeah, we'll let him run. We'll let another term go by with an unconstitutional president. I just don't think this country can stand that.
Well, and I'm going to be honest with you. If stuff like that is allowed to happen and by those who are sworn to uphold this Constitution, who took a sworn oath to do what they were supposed to do, if we cannot make these people do their job and honor this oath, the rule of law, then doesn't that really say that the United States of America has already fallen? I mean, if we can't even elect a president, a legal, legitimate president, are we really still here, or have we already fallen? Have we gone, by the way, you know, just like for the fall of Rome kind of thing, are we truly still here? Are we still truly the United States of America if we don't have a constitution?
I took that position years ago when Bush failed to secure the border. You know, if you don't have a border, you don't have a country. You know, why do you have borders around states? It's to identify the state. Why do you have a border around a country? It's to identify the country. Why are we in Iran and Iraq protecting borders over there in Pakistan and Afghanistan when we don't even protect? I mean, we've all heard this stuff before, so I don't need to go through it, but my position was when Bush failed to come, when he came down to the border and failed to secure that border, was riding around that stupid go-kart. That's when I said, it's time to throw a rope around the District of Columbia, drag it down the Potomac, and take it out to sea and sink it. And I still say that. And as far as I'm concerned, we need to get 5 or 6 million people together in Oklahoma City and start this thing over again.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't disagree. Because, you know, people don't want to admit when we talk about one world order, Bilderberg, which is going on right now as we speak, mm-hmm. and Agenda 21 stuff. Agenda 21, the United Nations taking over everything, that was initiated by George Bush Sr.
Mm-hmm.
The Bushes have always been a one world order family. And that's why George Bush Jr. was out there signing the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, SPP.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he wouldn't protect the border. He had given the border away. We didn't have one. He wanted to have a North American Union, just like the European Union that's all falling apart right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you try to tell people this stuff, and they would just look at you like you're a conspiracy nutcase or something. It's like, well, do you wake up and believe it now? Do you have a clue that this is really happening, people? Would you wake up and smell the coffee? And, you know, right now we have this lost, what is it, lost, it's called lost, law of the open sea treaty, or, you know, it's given away the seas to the United Nations. Yes, go ahead.
Right, lost sea treaty. Well, I don't think the lost sea treaty is going to make it. I just don't. They tried it in 07, and Biden pushed it hard, and, of course, he didn't have Obama then. But I at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to. There's a couple of senators there that are really raising Cain about this thing, and I listened to the hearings the other day, and Hillary danced around the questions, and like she always does, and of course her and Bill have been pushing that treaty for a long, long time, and you know, at the end of the day, we'll just wind up funding our enemy, and. So that I don't think it's going anywhere. I hope not. But I did get a couple of emails today about it. Why don't we just impeach the guy? And, you know, you can't impeach him because he's illegitimate. There's no way to impeach Obama. And he has to be legally removed by a force of law. And through a congressional investigation or an FBI investigation. And, you know, that's what has to be done here. Because the Congress is helpless. He's illegitimate.
Yeah, if he was there legally, then they could impeach him. But then
that's
again,
right.
We know that we, unfortunately, again, Congress has a tendency to limp out on that kind of stuff, too. But now, they, you know, they truly are derelict in their duty if they don't do this. Let me ask you a question or bring up something that happened as we were working on the notice and starting to send it out to people. The issue about sovereign citizen came up. You know, then right around that same time as that discussion was coming up about saying sovereign citizen, then there was a bunch of news things coming up about buzzwords that get you put on a list like pork or something stupid like that. So just for those who may not be aware of exactly what happened on that or heard something about it, what exactly was the issue with the sovereign citizen piece?
That we were going to use?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I had heard that somebody with Oath Keepers was raising Cain about it. Because there's an attitude in the District of Columbia that these folks that run around claiming they're sovereign citizens are anarchists and wanting to take over the government and this, that, and the other. Here's the end of the day. At the end of the day, let me get into sovereign for a minute. I may have touched on it last week. We talked about this a lot during the campaign. Go to your Webster's and look up sovereignty and look up sovereign. And what it'll tell you is that if you're beholden to someone, you're not sovereign. And since we all subscribe to the corporate county and the corporate states, we're obligated to the corporate county and the corporate states. We're not sovereign. You know, an illegal alien coming in here today is more sovereign to somebody than we are, because he's not obligated to anybody. You know, he's not even obligated to Mexico, for crying out loud, if he's coming from Mexico. So if and the states aren't, you know, one of the things that came out during the campaign was, you know, the state's sovereignty and 10th Amendment. Well, Washington, D.C. laughs at that. The Congress laughs at that. The Senate laughs at it. The House laughs at it. Because these states have taken bribes, and they're on the hook for these loans, for Medicaid, this, that, and the other. It's, as long as you're doing that, you've given up your sovereignty. One of the things I was saying when I was running around doing my thing was if I got in there, I was going to stop sending money to D.C. and I wasn't going to take any. And I had three other candidates that were running at the same time that said they were going to do the same thing. So, you know, if you're going to have your hand out and accept this stuff, you're not sovereign. So there you have it. It you know, you have to decide, you know, as a state, am I going to accept these federal dollars? You know, we send four out and get three back. Knock, knock. I mean, wake up, folks. Let's not send the four. They got plenty of money. They can do tariffs and international trade, this, that, and the other. You know, the money that we send them is pittance anyway, but they just send it back to us and it becomes a bribe. It's just like the Forest Service out here. When Bush stopped transfer payments from the feds to the counties, those dollars years ago were supposed to go for schools and roads, this, that, and the other, in lieu of giving the federal government jurisdiction to manage these forests. Well, that all ended in 2006. So what I said was, okay, you stop giving us the transfer payments. The bribe is over. Now the state should take the land back and manage it themselves and tell the federal government to take a hike because they're burning it up. And they make billions and billions of dollars letting these trees burn up. And every year they raise their budget. You know, 90 days before their FY is up, they go to Congress and get another $25 billion to suppress fires. Well, look at what's happening in New Mexico. I think there's one going on in Michigan right now. And it's all because we don't manage our forests. You know, if farmers did that in their pastures, you know, they wouldn't have pastures to graze cattle in. We had to burn pastures every 3 years and cut down cedars and pile them up and burn them. So, I don't want to get off on a tangent here. The bottom line is we got to stay focused. We got to get rid of this fellow that's in the White House. We got to do it legally, and we got to force the hand of the FBI. I had several people email me today and says, why can't we should be able to go straight to the top. And I said, well, and I wrote him back and said, you can't. You can't get there. He's not going to take your call. He's not going to take your email. The only way you're going to get there is the managers in these local regional FBI offices will put pressure on at the top and tell them, hey, these folks out here are ticked off. You know, they're going to be in my office here if we're not careful.
And demanding that's exactly why on the other case and how we end up meeting and working with you on this campaign was that Charlie and I have the I filed our FBI complaint called We the People mm-hmm. versus the Ballot Box Establishment. We went to the FBI because, you know, you can't go up further because that's where the corruption is, too. You've got it, and that's why we're making it a criminal investigation type thing to do mm-hmm. that. Charlie is chiming in there, so I'm going to go to him in just a minute. He's definitely got something to say. And when it comes to the sovereign discussion, he likes to talk about that. But it's so true. People don't understand what state sovereignty means. And the other part of this, I heard something similar to you with the Oath Keepers coming up and saying, or a guy from Oath Keepers, saying that there's this group out there called Sovereign Citizens, which is this bunch of people trying to totally overthrow the government and everything else. Here, we're just trying to get the government to follow the Constitution. We're not trying to overthrow anything. But because there's this group called Sovereign Citizens, which I've never looked it up, I know nothing about it, that's why they said, you better not call yourself that because you're going to be linked with them. So, you know, you give up free speech because some group is doing that, even though it's obvious all we're saying is enforce the Constitution. So let me go ahead and get to Charlie here and let him chime in. Let's see here. My computer's going a little bit slow. Hey, Charlie, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
Well, Bruce brought up a nice subject about the president. And so I pull up my handy Ron Paul Constitution. And so I would like to read it the way I think it should be read. and hopefully we'll get something out of it. Before he enter on the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation, and this is the President of the United States now. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Okay? Now let's go over to section number 4. The President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for, comma, and conviction of, comma, treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. So what I'm reading that in is the crime comes first and then the impeachment, because you have to get them on something first. So now, if the crime would be allowing my daughter to go to Mexico with 25 people at the taxpayer's expense without getting proper permission to do this because it is not covered in the Constitution, he has now violated the Constitution of the United States and cost the taxpayers money. That's one infraction. His wife went and spent over $2 million, $2.4 million in Spain with a bunch of their friends, and the president was not with them, so they're not on vacation. So there are different things that he is doing, and I'm just stressing the point now, that could be considered a misdemeanor, which means once you do a misdemeanor, then you should be impeached for it because the crime has to come first. And our
I understand what you're saying on that kind of stuff, and I agree that he's out there abusing his authority and spending money that he isn't. He's stealing money from the American people.
That's right.
You know, when you think about the fact that he's gone and declared war illegally.
Isn't
that a bigger problem? Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough that he's stealing the money.
Well,
no one's doing anything about that either.
All I did was open up the dialogue.
Let's go back to the inauguration.
Right.
When Obama took the oath, when did he change his name? What is his real name? Why did they flub the oath? And why did Roberts have to give it to him again the next day in chambers? Why did that happen? My view is this. We have no documentation. I'm told his name is Barry Sotero.
Yeah, we've heard that too.
Okay. He has a name, but there's no record of it of him changing his name to Barack Obama legally.
No.
So, in my view, if his birth name was really in Kenya, Barry Sotero, then he's using a fictitious name, and when he took the oath, it was meaningless. He's not obligated to the Constitution because he used a fictitious name. And Roberts didn't know any better because they didn't do any vetting, but they flubbed it, so he did it again. Now, when they were in chambers, did he take it as Barry Sotero or did he take it as Barack Obama? Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter because he's not legitimate, and he is not obligated to the Constitution because he's illegitimate.
Then if he's illegitimate, then that means both the Democrat Party and the Republican Party in its entirety are in violation of the Constitution of the United States that was designed to protect we the people from tyrants. And so now they have let a tyrant into the office of the President of the United States. And therefore, they are now, how would you say?
Co-conspirators. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now that brings in the complaint that Sally and I are doing, which ties in with what we all are doing on this removing Barry or removing Barack, whichever name he wants to go. But in the meantime, we also have to remove and fine and penalize each and every member of Congress for allowing this to happen in the first place. He did not disclose any of his information, and what Joe Arpaio and the posse are doing is really a wonderful thing, because I think it's going to come to that, and what we are doing is now even more important because we are drawing attention to it. And I would say that we could wind up having the President of the United States sitting behind bars for lying to we the people, and therefore in total violation of the Constitution, because he lied to get into that office, so therefore he is still, how would you say, still, we are all held to the Constitution as citizens and as servants of the people. And he is considered a servant of the people, so therefore he is obligated to uphold the Constitution since he did take an oath to it. That's
well,
my view.
He's
a liar.
Well, he is, but we're the stupid ones. America's the stupid ones because they allowed this to happen. I watched him do a speech yesterday with some kids, and they're enamored. I mean, they're just gaga. This guy is going to give us free student loans.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so every one of them little wet behind the ears kids is going to vote for this guy because they've got their hand out, and they have no clue that these student loans are the reason tuitions have gone through the roof in the first place.
That's right.
You know, I've got a son-in-law that can't get a job. He's got a PhD in nanophysics, for crying out loud, and he's going to go back to school and get an engineering degree, and his hourly rate per hour class is $1,200, and that's for the next 3 years, and he's going to go back to school because he can't get a job. He's going to stay in school. And, we're going to pay for it, you know?
And we the people are going to pay for it, right?
That's right. And he was up here. He kind of got mad at me Sunday when they were here, and I said, hey, you know, I don't want to pay for your education. I just don't. I love you, but I don't want to pay for your education. And you spent 7 years in school getting that PhD in physics, and you've never put a box together. You know, if I took you out here in the garage and told you to build a cedar chest, you wouldn't know where to start. And you got a degree in physics. So, anyway, I don't want to get into family issues, but at the end of the day here, we got to get rid of this guy. And the only way I know is, I talked to Arnie today,
mm-hmm.
and he said, somebody needs to get arrested. Well, okay. Somebody's got to file a complaint. Somebody's got to file a complaint, take it down to Joe, and Joe's going to take it to his county DA and say, hey, I got a complaint here. If Obama lands at Sky Harbor and I go out and arrest him, are you going to prosecute him? If the county DA says, well, I don't know. I don't know if we've got a case or not. Well, Joe's going to say, well, if you're not going to prosecute him, I guess there's no point in me arresting him. So you got to have a number of things in line. And the only place I know to get this done is the FBI and a congressman who doesn't care whether he gets reelected or not to start a congressional investigation. Just takes one.
We need a patriot in Congress. Or
does anybody know one? We don't have any in Arizona.
Well, the only one I could really think of that might be one would be Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah, she wouldn't do it.
I don't think so. Ron
Paul. Tom Coburn, if anybody would do it, Senator Coburn would probably be one of the first to do it. He's one of those who is out there saying, you know, talking about the debt bomb and everything, but he's the one that's saying you can't get people in Congress to make any tough decisions because they're too afraid they won't get reelected. So he's the one that's going out there using pretty much our expression, James Freeman Clark's expression about the statesman versus the politician. So then I think we ought to contact, everybody should contact Senator Coburn's office and say we need your help. It's about being a statesman. It's about
he's
doing
been
the right
contacted.
Thing. What's that?
He's been contacted.
Okay. Has he actually been asked to file the FBI case complaint?
He's got all the information.
Okay.
Does he have our complaint?
Yes. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if he had your FBI. No, I don't know about
that. But if he had our complaint and he saw some of the things that we're doing, he might be able to put two and two together and say, hey, this is at least a start, and it gives him some backing as to why he would file a complaint.
Yeah, I'll guarantee you there's some rednecks in Oklahoma, I used to be one, that have made certain that Mr. Coburn has all that information.
We got to make sure he gets the... I hope they get our complaint that we've got with the FBI, because they might be able to put a lot of pressure on the FBI in Oklahoma.
Well, they got the original mail out, and that had the complaint
on it. Okay,
yeah.
good.
So,
well,
you know, but it
to,
takes time. You
I,
know,
I, excuse me, just so you know, I sent our complaint to Senator Coburn as well. I actually faxed it to his office.
Yeah.
Oh, you faxed? That's right. You did fax it to him, right?
Yeah. So he's got it.
But he's no different.
I still think it helps to have a variety of citizens to be knocking on his door saying, you know, you're always talking about being a statesman. Now it's your time.
Yep.
True.
Yep.
And today, you know that list I sent you, Bruce? Those different lists? Okay, well, I went through one of them today, and I sent, I think I sent your situation, and I also sent one regarding the complaint.
Mm-hmm.
To them that I had, you know, that I had set aside specially for forwarding.
Yes.
And I sent it to like maybe about 15 of those, and just different states like Oklahoma, and it all was info@GeorgiaGOP that came back, but all the other ones went through. So it's in probably about 15 GOP headquarters around the different states, like Arkansas and that type of thing. I just did a hodgepodge on it to see what would happen, you know, because we do want to get them informed that we are actually taking action in the state of Florida to go against the Republican and Democrat parties.
Yeah. See, if we could get several states, if you will.
Yeah.
Let's say 38 of them.
Right. Yep. We now need 37, but 38 would be good.
Okay. If we got 38 states to come forward with a no confidence, signed by the governor, the attorney general, the president of the Senate, the speaker of the House, we have no confidence in the presidency of in the man in the White House, and you know, governors are going to have to step up. Will they? I don't know. We got 38 of them to step up for 1070.
But how many Republicans do we have?
We've got a majority, but I don't remember the number offhand.
Yeah. See, the biggest thing is just like the Obamacare, it was all voted by the Democrats, which gave them a majority, and they had a majority at the time. But that is not a cross-section of the people that are in office. That was just one side.
Right.
That was the Democrat side. And nothing should be passed by one side of the House, like the Democrat, should be a bipartisan effort of 50-50 at least.
Well, what they do is, you know, they change the rules to out
satisfy
there
themselves.
Yeah.
And violate our rights.
Right.
And now, so there, right there, that is a...
My personal view is that the District of Columbia is done. It's over. And, you know... I don't see anything positive coming out of there. Even if we get the FBI, if the FBI steps up and sets a precedent to the RNC and the DNC and the Federal Election Commission and so forth, that Mueller is going to abide by his oath, and he's not going to allow a questionable candidate be in that office in the next 4 years. And until they determine absolute that he is eligible or ineligible, they cannot let it go forward. So You know, and something's got to happen. And I see what's happening like today and yesterday as kind of like a little tornado. A group of tornadoes. And now we're going to see a little bigger one. And this funnel cloud is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And while it's circling and getting bigger, it's drawing in more and more Americans. And we're getting closer to the election. We're getting closer to D-Day, if you will. And they're going to start paying more attention now. And Mark Levin come on board today or yesterday. And you know, more and more people are, and I've got to tell you, Trump's not going to let this go. He's just not going to let this go.
And neither is Arpaio.
Nope. Joe won't let it go either.
But now I notice that WorldNet Daily is no longer going to be have their name mentioned on one of the major media things. That just came over now, or a little while ago. So one of the major stations says they will not mention the name WND at all.
Well, that's not surprising, and it just tells you where they're at.
Yeah, and that tells me that they're in violation of FCC 99-390,
mm-hmm.
which is another thing that we can do. But, you know, and I'm just saying, I'd rather shut one down than to even worry about restarting it.
Well,
because they're supposed to give us the information.
The fellow in charge of the FCC is an Obama appointee and works at the pleasure of an illegitimate man in a White House. So
yeah.
I read all that stuff about the FCC. At the end of the day, we've got to stay focused on Obama's eligibility.
Definitely. I agree with you. But all these other little things can be thrown in there as to...
At the same time.
Why, you know, so people say, well, you can't tell me that the FCC is not doing that well. You need to listen to their broadcasting. You'll find out that they're only talking about one side, all the good things that are happening. And that's it.
Oh, but they're not even talking about that. They're just talking about the whatever's going to help whoever's in office, which goes to the side of Mitt Romney as well, which I saw something today, speaking of eligibility, it was something that came through, and I'm trying to remember who it was that said, oh, well, they have vetted and confirmed that Mitt Romney is eligible, even though his father was not a citizen at the time of his birth or something. So, I mean, there's still truly an issue about Romney even being eligible. But they're playing the same game. And, of course, here the Republicans are out there playing this game on this side. They're not going to be the ones who are going to push the issue about Obama because they've got their own issue right there, not to mention the issue of Rubio. So they don't want to have to worry about somebody being legal to run for office either. It's disgusting.
What? Yeah, Hannity is really pushing Rubio, and Hannity's not stupid. He knows Rubio's not eligible.
He knows Rubio's. Yeah.
You know,
but
Rubio's a nice fellow, but he's not eligible.
Yeah. He's not eligible. Doesn't Hannity work for one of the Clear Channels or his radio talk show, I guess?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's Clear Channel.
Yeah, he's on, WDBO, and that is owned by Clear Channel.
Yeah. Correct. And who has a financial stake in Clear Channel?
Well, that's Romney.
Yep. So, again, that's why we got to go this other route through the FBI and hope that we have some people there who have the courage and the ethics and the integrity to do the job. But I don't think the FBI is going to be aggressive in doing it if we don't get a lot of us to knock on their door and say, do something.
It's going to take a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this, Bruce, just so to go over for those that are listening, to understand the process, you know, there's all the documents out there. Some people seem to be confused as to what they were supposed to do with the documents. Do you want to kind of give everybody a 101 class on how to go out to the website with, you know, the electronic signature versus printing it and signing it and sending it someplace or whatever?
Well, I found out yesterday or the day before that the original document, one of the easiest things to do was just to forward it, and then that space would open up so you could sign it. Now, since then, but what we intended for people to do was print it, sign it, scan it, and send it to all. That's what we've done in the past. And although I do most of what I do by mail, I know most people aren't going to do it by mail. I just happen to believe that the envelope is has just a little more oomph to it. But since this first came out, we now have, thanks to some people who sent this in, the links to that are a lot better links to these people that need to get this information in the House and the Senate, state lawmakers, and so on and so forth. And so the only way I knew how to do it, I'm not a computer genius, but I'm a copy and pasting fool. And, you know, you send me a document. If I want to sign it, I'm going to print it, sign it, and do what I'm going to do with it. At the end, you know, I did get some questions, and I tried to answer them best way I could. But one of the folks called me, and she talked to me last night and said that all they had to do was click forward, and that space opened up, and they could put their name in there. And that seemed – so I followed up with that and sent that back out to some folks that had questioned the process. But to me, the easiest thing to do is to print it, sign it, scan it, and send it all. I mean, we were doing this on Memorial Day. And, you know, we got guys over there in the desert sweating they're sweating. And the least we can do is do a little effort. I can't do it.
Well,
you know.
Myself, I was going to be signing it and faxing it, which is I've actually done some, but I'm faxing it to as many as I can possibly sign. You know, I don't care if I'm in their district or not or whatever. You know how
right.
that kind of stuff is. So I'm sending it all over the place, and of course, sending it to the governor. I don't guarantee Rick Scott's going to do a whole lot. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in his. What do you want to call it? I won't say ethics, but his ethics, integrity, whatever you want to call it, he's just a GOP wimp. He's going to do whatever the party tells him. I don't think he's got any courage or whatever to do the right thing myself. But I will definitely make sure he gets it on several occasions and that kind of thing. But there was also some talk about taking copies of them and taking them into D.C. directly. Was there any more discussion about actually hand-delivering any of these or anything like that?
Well, Arnie had mentioned he had a process server out there that was available to do that, and frankly, I don't know if he followed through with that or not. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
We can find out on that. I think it would be really great if we could get a few people together to hand-deliver a truckload of them or whatever.
Well, that's what happened during Amnesty. I mean, they dropped envelopes. I mean, and again, we're just getting started here.
Yeah.
This thing is going to continue to get hot. And, you know, it is. It's going to get hot.
Well, the fact you got Donald Trump out there talking about it again, and you got Mark Levine out there, you got some big voices who are pushing the issue now. And I guess Mark Levine doesn't work with a Clear Channel station.
No.
He's safe enough. He's allowed
well,
to speak.
I don't know if that's a Clear Channel station or not. I tried to get it to Michael Savage. I don't know if I was successful or not, but I've tried to call him several times and never been able to get through. But
yeah, I think he's and I think Greg, excuse me, but I think Mike Savage is also being kicked off of the Tampa station now.
Yeah,
well,
I saw something about that too.
Yep.
Yeah, they're going to go after him now. Anybody who speaks against the establishment or anybody who speaks against the elitist and whoever, you know, anybody who happens to believe in the Constitution, you're truly, we've got to do it. We have to. We have to stand on ground on this stuff.
Yeah.
But they're going to do what they can to stop us.
You know, Bruce, that my favorite law is 18 U.S.C.A. 241,
mm-hmm.
Conspiracy Against Rights, and a lot of people need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
just that one end, the first three paragraphs. I just think it's absolutely, how would you say, very compelling. And it would actually wake up a lot of people to the fact that they can't really take any of your rights away. And if they do, they're looking at 10 years in prison. And, I mean, this can be, we could actually use that and probably file a suit directly against certain members of Congress.
Well,
for
you
failing
see,
to do the job.
Right. And that kind of goes to this ruling that's coming down, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks from the Supreme Court. They know that law. And they know what this, you know, sections of this Obamacare is going to do.
Yeah.
And it's going to take away our rights. And like, you know, they made some statements in there that right now escape the top of my head, but they were pointed directly at the fact that this Obamacare goes directly to force people to do something that they have a right to choose not to do.
Right.
And it's like my thing with private property.
Right.
Private property is a right, and you can't tax a right. By the way, I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but I sent out I sent out 19 packages today. I have to think it had something to do with what we've started, because I have sent out a lot in a day, but this seemed to come from people reading what I had on the top of the page when I sent it out today, and then getting down to the blog endorsement at the bottom, because I sent out 19 packages today on private property taxes and the allodial title. I got accused of being a lawyer the other day, and I'm madder than hell about that. I wish the guy would call me.
Yeah. Sally and I have gone through that too, because I've had a few people come up to me and say, who helped you with this complaint? I mean,
mm-hmm.
What's the name of your lawyer
mm-hmm.
regarding that complaint?
Mm-hmm.
And I says, well, we don't have one. He said, and the guy looked at me at church and he says, you don't have a lawyer? You sure you don't have a lawyer? I says, no, that's called research.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
And then I tell him that, you know, I researched one, and then Sally went ahead and double-checked on about 10 others to make sure that we were on the right track. And that's
mm-hmm.
the one that we went with, the one that we had originally come up with. But she researched it to make sure that what we were doing is the one that we wanted to go with. And we just kept working on the wording. And, oh, the frustration and tiredness, and especially with Sally working, it was really a rough one for her. But got to give her, she's a trooper. She does the work.
Yeah,
survive on about 3 hours sleep a night.
Yeah, it was very well drafted, and the fellow that put our deal together on private property tax had researched it for several years, and he was 59 years old, and here 3 weeks ago Monday he fell over dead.
Oh geez.
So we're having to start over. He's out walking his dogs and just fell over dead, and a super guy and smart as a weapon. He'd put all this together, and it's kind of set us back in our agenda in this county here. But we're regrouping as soon as things settle down. But at the end of the day, lawyers is what's got us into this problem we've got.
Yeah.
You know, we've got an issue down in Tombstone over water, and I sent the folks down there everything I knew to send them, and enough ammunition to convince them that the last thing in the world they wanted to do was to get involved in a lawsuit with the Forest Service.
Mm-hmm.
They needed the county sheriff to step up, and short of that, they need the mayor of the town to go out there and get on a backhoe and go out there and fix those water lines, because he's legally able to do it and not be intimidated. And so,
well, yeah, like the guy up in Washington. Or Washington or Oregon, that remember that one situation where the sheriff went over there and told the Forest Service, uh-uh.
That's right.
You can't make that guy move his cattle. That's
yep.
his property, and he's going to use it. You just
yep.
get your butt out of here. You leave my people alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go back to your federal office and stay there.
It'd be nice if we can get all of this stuff that we're doing to all the sheriffs and maybe wake them up, and even the deputies.
Yeah. Well,
What's going on with Sheriff Mack? Any update with Sheriff Mack and his group? I know he's running for Congress right now.
I have no clue.
Okay. So I know we were trying to get some information. In fact, I believe the lady was on the phone at one point on our one call, so I was hoping we were getting a little bit more there. But, you know, that's the other thing right now, because we are doing this, and, you know, you've been pretty much been the point of contact for most of this, Bruce. But at the same time, the whole point was for people to, you know, reach out to their group. They didn't, you know, they don't have to send you everybody's email address. They need to go
no.
to theirs. So the truth is, we truly don't know how widespread this has already gotten.
Well, several months ago, I mentioned last week, I put out a request for email addresses, and
yeah.
my goodness, I got them. And we didn't really do that this time. You know, I wanted email addresses for folks that had great numbers of people in their address book, and then because it's more meaningful if it comes from them to their reader or to their address book than it does if it comes from me. And you know, because it just does. It means more, and I think it's more effective. And but I got to tell you, I just today about noon, after I'd looked and seen everything that was going on the media, CNBC yesterday, I think I told somebody I went down to the coffee shop this morning at 9 o'clock, and we solved all the world's problems down there. And I told the guys, I said, I don't know if we've got anything to do with this, but it looks like somebody has just stoked the fire. And so let's keep stoking it.
Well, you know, Mark Levine, I think he's on 1080 or WDBO in the evening,
mm-hmm.
or it could be a rerun or something.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
the thing
it's
is
Orlando. Yeah.
It's in Orlando, yeah. And I've heard him talking about it, and he's usually on like around 7, 8, and 9, and sometimes he will be interrupted by a basketball game or something.
Yeah.
But if he starts talking about this on his radio show, I think it's going to go, he's going to help it go viral.
Well, he should be talking about it. He wrote a great book. What was it? I've got it right here somewhere, Tyranny. But anyway, you know, he talks about in the book exactly what we're going through here as a country.
Right.
And and he's got a great audience, a big audience, and so you know.
Have you tried Neil Bortz?
No, I haven't. I'm a big fan of Neil Bortz, by the way.
Okay, Neil Bortz also has a Twitter account.
Excuse me, Charlie. Excuse
yeah.
me. We have our friend from Texas who wants to chime in. Texas, you're on the phone, on the air.
Hi, y'all. It's just me, Doreen.
Yes, I've seen you out there. You've been out there very quiet in the chat room so far, but I saw you, and then all of a sudden you put your hand up. You wanted to talk. So
my chat room isn't coming up, and I'm sitting here pouting because I could be giving you comments.
Well, I see your name out there. We're not sure what the deal
okay.
is. But anyway,
I'm really enjoying this, but I'm so nosy. I have to ask y'all to enlighten me, and maybe I'm not the only one. I'm not aware of all the excitement that took place today on the news that you were talking about. I've been busy chasing behind my brother, and besides that, I don't have cable. So what was going on today that was so exciting?
Are you asking me, Doreen?
Yes, sir.
Well, it started really yesterday for me. I watch CNBC in the mornings. And because I'm a big fan of Joe Kernan, and he had Donald Trump on there on the phone, and he eased Donald into the issue of eligibility, and Mr. Trump took off on it and left no holds barred. And every once in a while, the camera would scan, and I'm sure you folks don't know these folks, but the other people on the panel. It was obvious they were extremely nervous, but Kernan was having a good time. And that kind of started the ball a-rolling. And then on when I open up my Yahoo account in the mornings, I get a political page. And this morning there was three or four articles from like WorldNetDaily.com and different sites that were directly aimed at eligibility. And then the former governor of New York, Patterson.
Patterson.
Yeah, he had a comment that he said, "Well, it looks like Obama got away with one." Well, yeah, for the time being. And then this Hoekstra fella up in Michigan that's running for Senate up there, he made the statement and it got on the internet on a news site, if you will, that he said the FBI and the CIA ought to investigate the eligibility of these candidates. And yeah, that's right. And so that plus the emails that I got from, like I said, I got over 600 today. It's hard to read those. you gotta put the something in the subject matter to get my attention because
otherwise it's going to get zapped.
Yeah, otherwise it's going to get zapped. And but there was a lot of things that came in about eligibility, and I'm excited. I mean, I remember going through this with amnesty. Millions of people got on board of that thing, and we shut it down. And I'm convinced we can do the same thing here. This is a serious, serious issue. You know, here's a question we have to ask ourselves, I think. Let's say Obama did everything he said he was going to do during the campaign in 09, or 08, I'm sorry, when he was running. Let's say he ran as he governed as a moderate. Let's say he did everything he said he was going to do when he was campaigning. Would we be talking about this today? I would be.
I was going to say, I think so, because in essence, he did tell us what he was going to do, and he is doing what he told us he was going to do.
He did, but I got to tell you, on the stump, in a lot of different speeches, he sounded like a conservative.
Oh, yeah, but he is, what is that animal that changes? He's a chameleon.
He's a chameleon, yep. Yep. So, we were talking about this Sunday when the kids were up here. I said, here's the thing. It doesn't matter to me one iota what he's done or what he says he's going to do or what he said he was going to do. The bottom line here is, and we've known it since the day of inauguration, he's illegitimate. They fumbled that oath, and he fumbled it because he knew in his heart of hearts, wow, I just snookered the American people.
Now, you see, you're probably, I'm going to have to say this, you've got me excited, but that's a wow to me because you know what? And I'm probably not the only one out there. There's probably millions out there just like me. I didn't know he had messed it up.
Well, he did. The next day,
what took place.
Roberts made him come. Roberts came to the White House and he gave him the oath again. The question I have is, did he give him the oath as Barry Sotero or Barack Obama?
And
which name did he use?
Come to shove, I bet you it's Sotero.
Well, who knows?
Or one of his other three. I think he's got like five aliases.
And his Social Security number, Selective Service. I mean, the guy is such a fraud, it's unbelievable. But, here again, somebody needs to start an investigation, the FBI or the Congress. One of these guys down here in Arizona in Maricopa County needs to register a complaint. They just got rid of the county attorney down there, who was kind of a good guy. And otherwise, I think if somebody had filed a complaint and Joe had taken it to him, Andy probably would have said, you bet I'll prosecute. Andy Thomas. I don't know if you all heard anything about all that or not, but anyway, that's an Arizona story. But Doreen, you need to be excited. You need to tell all your friends and neighbors that we've got good days coming if we can get the FBI and Congress to act, and it's going to take public pressure like nothing they've ever seen before. Because a lot of these guys weren't around in 07 or in 07 when we took down Amnesty. You know, when that 2010 election happened, we got a new group in there, and as far as I'm concerned, that they've let us down.
I have to agree with you. Well, I've made that group I told you about, Americans for Legal Immigration.
Mm-hmm.
I've made them aware of what's going on because I know good and well they'll support this as they are fighting for illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made them aware and sent them the information. So
I got some emails from some of them today.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Well, no, I did my little share.
Yep.
I've got a lot more to do, but the more I listen to you talk, the more energy I get and the more informed I get. And thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate it, Doreen.
You know, something else that Lou Dobbs, you remember way back when Lou Dobbs was on CNN,
mm-hmm.
and he was frequently talking about the birther issue, frequently talking about the illegal immigration. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I believe he's a Ron Paul supporter, even though he probably doesn't say that on Fox News. But it was just this past week when he came out, and with him, it was really very close to the same time as everything else again. He came out and said something to the effect he doesn't understand why the Republican Party is so afraid of the birther issue. And I think he makes such a good point. This is what's wrong with these political parties. I mean, it's just it's a disgrace that you've got these political parties who are running all these candidates who are the ones who ultimately end up in office with their sworn oath to uphold the Constitution, but they're afraid to actually uphold the Constitution. But Lou Dobbs is out there talking about it, too. I don't know. I know I tried to send an email to him, and I don't remember if it got through or not. I think one of his got bounced back to me. But we definitely need to make sure Lou Dobbs has this information.
Sally, here's what's going on since I've been listening to y'all, and I've got the Rhino's figured out. They've got Mitt Romney, who does not qualify as well, so therefore they're not going to go against Obama on eligibility, because when they do that, they're going to lose Mitt Romney as a candidate.
Well, that's true.
And they,
yeah, I was talking about it earlier.
And that's why they're not taking a move.
Yeah. Well, and I. Maybe someone needs to tell Lou Dobbs that the reason why they're not doing it is because Mitt Romney's not eligible either.
That sounds like a good letter we ought to send off.
Well, you know, yeah. it could be Barack Obama, it could be Arnold Schwarzenegger, it could be Vladimir Putin, it could be Chavez, it could be anybody going forward if we don't fix this.
That's right.
A serious issue. And, you know, it was interesting because we've actually got three different things going on here. Right now we're focusing on the Obama issue, but we've got We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. Then we've also got the violations of the FCC 99-390, which is to serve the public interest. And it was interesting, and I believe Charlie saw the same email, where someone came back after I had sent the thing out and Arnie posted it out there on the one website about the violation. We need to go after these people in the media, too, because they're the ones that are helping promote this corruption.
Exactly.
They aren't that part of the problem. And,
well,
you know how to
go after them? Turn them off.
That's what I've been telling everybody. Quit watching them.
Just quit watching them.
But the bad part is there's so many people that do. You feel like you need to know what kind of garbage they're being fed. Because you're truly trying to counter what they are doing. I can ignore the garbage I hear on the news because I know it's not true. Just like everything you do.
I get a better pulse out of America by listening to the Washington Journal when they're interviewing Democrats, Republicans, and Independents than I do out of any of the Fox Blather shows. I'm a big C-SPAN junkie anyway, and if there's a hearing coming up, I'm going to video it. Drives my wife crazy. But anyway, you know, you can get a good pulse for what's going on out there because the guys and the gals there at C-SPAN, they'll take the phone calls, and they'll let them get it all out there. And I know from history, from being around other guys in politics, that they know that if one guy has this opinion, there's 1,000 more like it. So if there's 1,000 people like it, then there's 10,000 people like it. And if there's 10,000 people like it, then there's a million. I mean, you know, it just snowballs. So we're not alone out there. And C-SPAN's got an enormous audience. And I got to tell you, we turned into Free Speech TV the other night, and just for giggles, and Amy Goodwin was going on, and she was going after some of this stuff that Obama's doing. I couldn't believe it. And so, you know, I've been kind of patient, and they call that show Democracy Now. And they were on to something so, you know, it's not all Fox and CNN. I mean, and these other outlets have got an audience, and at the end of the day, you know, we keep pushing this. It's going to get to some of these other outlets because they're looking for something to talk about. I got to tell you, when we ran during my campaign, we worked to come up with issues to talk about on our radio show. And when you're doing a two-hour radio show and you're trying to keep an audience interested, you've got to have subject matter. And so these other shows that, like Democracy Now! and C-SPAN and so forth, you know, they've got researchers out there, and just like Glenn Beck, and I'm no Glenn Beck fan, but, you know, one of his guys emails me every day. I don't know why, because I know he doesn't like what I send back. But anyway, there's so much out there, the ability or the capability to get this message out there, and you know, once we get the wind at the back, we're gonna blow through this thing.
Got a question.
Yes, Charlie.
Yeah. Do you have the addresses for C-SPAN and what you were just talking about? Any of those things where I could go ahead and also email the Arizona Sentinel flyer, and maybe I'll send also under different things, send them the...
Go on cspan.org and you'll find it.
You'll find it on... Okay.
Yep.
cspan.org and...
Yeah, That's the thing that people, you know, and I have to admit, I didn't know how to do this years ago. But if you want to know how to find somebody, just go up to the browser and type it in there.
Okay. Well, I did it,
stay away from Google.
I thought you might have a list of different ones that you would want us to go ahead and back up another email that you sent out or something like that.
Well, I could put that together. I could sure put that together, but
yep.
I mean, C-SPAN period. You know, if you just go to I think it's C-SPAN. It's C-SPAN 1, I believe, in the mornings, the Washington Journal, and but you know they've got a contact page,
mm-hmm.
and all you got to do is go to that contact page and hit them all.
Good.
Just hit them all.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure I go to congress.org as well, because I want to go out there and post it out there all over the place.
Now, Sally, have you noticed
the
change that congress.org has made to themselves?
No, not lately. To be honest, I haven't been out to congress.org probably in about a month or two.
Well, you should have noticed they're not red, white, and blue anymore. They're Agenda 21 colors.
Really?
They're goldenrod and red.
Oh, that's depressing.
Exactly.
That's depressing.
Exactly. They're no longer red, white, and blue. They are goldenrod and red. They have taken on the colors of UN Agenda 21.
Okay.
Do y'all know Tom DeWeese?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tom has got an I guarantee has got an amazing database.
I know.
And I haven't talked to Tom since my campaign, but you know, if on his site and so forth, if we could get to Tom, and I think he gets my stuff. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and check. But he's a great guy. Boy, I tell you what, he knows that Agenda 21 backwards and forwards and sustainable development and all that nonsense. Matter of fact, he's the one that introduced me years ago to that biodiversity map. And that'll scare you, looking at that thing. So, you know.
Yeah, I have seen that thing before, and it's just the sad part is, I mean, when you think about it, you know, what percentage of the American people have no clue about that?
99%.
You know, one of the funniest things that was happening to me, I had the four corner states. I bought the big map, and then I bought the four corner states, and showed the red and the orange and this, that, and I'd show it, pass it around at events, and people would look at it to see if their area was in the red.
Oh,
my area is not in the red. Oh, well, then you're okay. Oh, my God. Just made my hair hurt.
Well, I'm bald-headed because on Fridays I set my hair on fire.
Oh, well, you know.
You know, after all week you've got to do something for excitement, so... I have another question to you. In your email, you made a statement about go to your sheriffs and tell them to disavow or to tell the Forest Service to shove it. And what was it you said? We need to talk to them and get them to not enact or allow the Forest Agency to do?
Well, here's what's been going on in the West, and I can give you a 2-hour seminar on this, but I won't. The biggest problem we have in the West at the local level is that the Forest Service years ago was given jurisdictional control over state lands that had timber on them, and they did that in lieu of money. Because the governors and the states were too lazy to put their people to work to manage it. So they said, well, the federal government says they'll just write us a check and we won't have to do anything. Well, then what happened down the road was the Forest Service goes to the county sheriffs and says, hey, you know, we'll provide a law enforcement if you'll give us the authority in your county to have put law enforcement on the back of one of our trucks and load us down with tasers and 45s and this, that, and the other. Well, we've kind of stopped that in several counties around the western half of the United States. And we did stop it in Otero County, New Mexico, Sierra, Valencia County, and Grant County, Oregon, Josephine County up there in Oregon, and... Apache County here in Arizona, when I ran for governor, that was one of the things I talked about, was we was going to make certain that there was no law enforcement in the counties other than the elected sheriffs, and we were going to see to it that the sheriffs did not authorize any law enforcement authority to the Forest Service. And it's been a big issue here. And we're still at it. And now, like Glenn Palmer up in Grant County, Oregon, he got tired of having his citizens up there harassed by him, so he just rescinded the authority. Basically, that's what we've done over in Apache County through resolutions. It's basically what they've done over in Otero County. And but Glenn just told him, said, hey, look, from now on, the only authority you've got in Grant County, Oregon, is in your federal building, so why don't you go there? And but that issue gets really into the weeds, and it goes back to thoroughly understand that issue, you have to understand the history of what the agenda has been for the western states west of the 100 meridian since the early 1900s. And I refer people to a book. I've probably sold a lot of these books lately because I tell everybody you need to go read this book. But it's called Storm Over Rangelands by Wayne Hage. And once I read that book, I understand why we're losing our forest, why they're going after our water, why they steal cattle from ranchers and sell them and keep the money. How much time we got, Sally?
We still got about 40 minutes, so you got plenty of time.
All right. Well, at the end of the day, there are people that live in high rises down on in Philadelphia, Newark, and New Jersey, and New York, and so on, that want the human footprint off the land in the West. Period. They don't want cattle. Matter of fact, there was a saying back in Clinton's years: "Cattle free by '93." And they extended that to the human. But I'll just tell you, give you a little history on who actually owns this land out here. In the middle 80s, Ronald Reagan put a commission together to study the idea of giving the land back to the rightful owners in the West. And he killed the commission because what they discovered was that they already owned it. So they couldn't sell or give away what they didn't own. So, you know, and right now there's a court case going on up in Reno, and I'm hoping they get it settled this week. And I've got kind of a briefing on it Friday, and it's looking pretty good. But at the end of the day, there are people driving, and it starts with civilian groups pressuring government agencies. I'll start at the Department of Interior, Department of Agriculture, down to the U.S. Forest Service, down to the local level. And I learned about this back in the middle 80s from a talk show host who's dead now out of Iowa. He's a farmer, Derry Brownfield. And I used to listen to Derry all the time, and he's the one that told me about how the federal government was leveraging land in the West for debt. And then I find out by research the federal government doesn't have the land in the West. They don't own this. And so these governments that have loaned us all this money, these trillions of dollars, they don't have the security they think they've got. It's one of the reasons I'm pushing the allodial title as hard as I am out here and convincing people that they need to sever themselves from the corporate county registration rolls. And so if they own their property, absolute fee simple. And, you know, there's so many issues that we're facing. I think it was Sally that said, or maybe it was Kathy that said to me the other night, we've got so many issues that they're coming at us that it's almost overwhelming. And I said, well, I'm looking forward to the day when I can, the only thing I've got to worry about is those 50,000 intercontinental ballistic missiles that Khrushchev had aimed at us.
Oh, Lordy.
That turned out to be a scam.
Yeah. Well, there was something I was going to mention. You were talking about the Forest Service, and I was trying to find the email. I got an email today from somebody who's out in California in the San Francisco area, as a matter of fact, saying the Forest Service has denied access to the forest. They've done something to shut down the forest. They're not letting the campers in and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Or something else. And
yeah,
I'm like,
I can tell you what's going on out there. They're shutting down the entrances into the forest areas and not allowing people to use them. And they're taking jackhammers out, and they are tearing up the roads that have been laid. Now, that can be stopped if you've got a sheriff that's willing to do it.
That's right. Sheriff can stop that. Sheriff can stop that.
Yeah.
It's called called RS-2477. I ran a bill through the Arizona legislature in 07 called Senate Bill 1264. Governor vetoed the bill. It was a right-of-way bill. But at the end of the veto, she said that Arizona had used that statute in the past and reserved the right to use it in the future, which meant if the state needed to claim an RS-2477 road, they could. Well, not only can the state claim RS-2477 roads, but so can I. So can you. And if you can prove that that road existed prior to 1976, I can tell whoever wants to close it to get away from it, leave it alone, and I'm going to use it. An RS-2477 road can be a goat trail. It can be a fence line. It can be a water line, like Tombstone's fighting down there in Tombstone. But at the end of the day, you have to elect people that know these things. You have to have people that can read and know the history of these things. And we have a tendency not to do that. We have a tendency to hire people and put them in these offices that are Republican or Democrat favorites with money or name recognition or something like that. And we're all paying for it. And, you know, I go to some of these meetings here locally and people stand up, we got to do this. But I got to tell you, I've got a group up here within 30 miles of me, and I know who hits my sights. And they're mad at me because I'm no longer Republican. And even though I'm on the right side of the issue, they're not going to participate. Isn't that a shame?
It is. I've been fussing for a long time. Doreen's heard me fuss about it. We've done it plenty of times on American Statesman. It's like, would you stop being a Republican or a Democrat? Would you be an American? You know?
Yeah.
And if we would start focusing on being united as Americans and going back to what being an American is and why it's something totally unique in this whole planet, and if we don't, if we don't unite, we're not going to be there. It's totally disgusting. And, you know, I put the question out there. Do you think George Washington, a no-party affiliate, a person who did not believe in political parties, do you think George Washington could ever get elected today?
No. No.
I don't think so.
No, Ronald Reagan couldn't get elected today. They'd run Barry Goldwater out of town. I don't want to go there. I was a big fan of Barry Goldwater, and when I decided to get involved in this in a campaign way, I went back and reviewed everything he ever wrote. I listened to every speech that Reagan made over and over and over and over again, and I remembered the speech that Reagan gave. It was called A Time for Choosing. He gave it for Barry Goldwater, and I remembered it, and it had a lasting impact on me. Those kind of guys, they wouldn't stand a chance today. They just wouldn't. Bob Dole couldn't get elected today, and I had some major disagreements with Bob Dole. But now John McCain could.
Yeah, he does. Didn't he get reelected for the Senate last time?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I truly thought of all states that would rebel against that kind of garbage, I really thought Arizona was going to be one that would stand up and push him out the door.
We had a guy running for a House seat in Arizona that was a constitutionalist. I mean, he convinced everybody in the district that he was a constitutionalist. Then he had his picture taken with John McCain. That ended his campaign. Just ended it right there. And he's still wondering why.
And McCain used to be such a maverick in the beginning. I did like McCain in the beginning. This was years ago. And, I mean, I don't know. He had written that book about courage or something or whatever. And at first I really did have some respect for him. But I don't know. Ever since he ran against Bush in 2000, I guess it was, he just seems like he has just dwindled down to nothing. And maybe it was happening before that, and I just didn't see it because I'm here in Florida, not Arizona.
Well, anyway, all I know is at the end of the day, we've got one challenge facing us, and that is we've got to make certain that whoever's on that ballot in 2012 is a legitimate, eligible candidate.
Yeah. Go ahead.
When I stop and think about 50 states and 50 secretaries of state.
57.
Is there 57?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
In Obama's world, there is.
Yeah.
You had to bring that name up. I have a nickname for him, but I'm not going to tell you on the air.
B.O. is what everybody's calling him.
Careful
well,
now.
He's my monkey ears is what he is. I did tell you, too, didn't I? Anyway, when I think about these people holding up, and it states, you know, in some states maybe it doesn't, but in Texas it states that the person running, they are to define whether or not the person running for office is an eligible candidate according to the Constitution of the United States. And you've got these, I can't think of a nice name to call them.
Doreen, I had a page on my campaign site that was called Verification of Candidate Eligibility. And I don't remember how many items I had. It was 23 or 24, maybe 25, of different things that the state, the governor, the attorney general, the secretary of state was going to be responsible for to verify any candidate that was running for a federal office.
Right.
Well, that was in 2009. Last year, some good legislators here in Arizona ran a bill and got it through. And the governor vetoed it.
Well, I understand that. You could just take and drop kick the governor then. But how aggravating is it when it's written there in black and white that this is their job? They are to see that the candidate running on the ballot is an eligible candidate. And they're sitting back and telling Arlie Tates and all these people and telling their voters, that's not their job. Well, what in the hell is their job? And if our governor isn't backing them up, and if the, I lost my brain, what in the hell is their job? To me, that's the most important thing they've got to do.
Does anybody know a governor in this country that's got a backbone?
Hell no. I've got one here in Texas. He won't sell us out to Mexico and Canada, so oh well.
Yeah.
And the Bilderberg and everything else. So forget Perry. Well, you got to give Walker, you know, up in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I take that back. There you go. There's the guy right
go.
There. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. There's. Yep. Yep. I'm all for Walker. You betcha.
And he's
yep.
got a stainless steel rod up his backbone.
Yes, he does. Yep.
Yep. And I'll tell you, isn't it next Tuesday's that election, I believe, that recall election or whatever?
I think he's going to win that deal.
I do, too.
I
and
believe
it will
he's
be a
win.
Major 39% for this country. Yes, go ahead.
I saw a report the other day that 39% of the union vote is going to vote for Walker.
Excellent.
He's reduced their property taxes. The employment is up. Every category of the economic, both state and public, is in better shape now than it was before he was elected. And, you know, whether you're union or not, if you've got kids, you got to be thinking about them kids going forward. And so I think Walker's done a terrific job. And matter of fact, I don't know, a month or two or three ago, I get his emails. I'm sure you all do too. And
yep.
I sent a thing up there and said, hey, bud, what you ought to do is run for president.
Yeah, I'll tell you. And after all this happens and everything else, who knows? We may see him running for president.
I hope so. I do. I really hope so.
We need somebody who's willing to take the tough stand, which just goes back to the Tom Coburn thing where it talks about being a statesman versus a politician. You got to make the tough calls. You got to do what's right for the better of this country.
My problem with Coburn is he voted for NDAA.
I thought he voted against that. I don't think so.
I think he voted for it.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Well,
I might want to check on that, but I believe he did.
Okay.
I know he voted for the Patriot Act.
Yeah. Well, most of them did. That's the part that it just totally amazes me, too. It's like, okay, you know, Republicans are supposed to be the ones who care about the Constitution. It was the Democrats that voted against the Patriot Act and the Republicans that did. But would somebody explain how nutsy these people are to me? I mean, are they all on drugs up there? What's the deal? They must be on drugs.
I think they've got an agreement going where, okay, we'll let you guys go into office this time. And we'll badmouth you and all this, that, and the other, and then we'll go across the street and have a beer. And then next go around, you know, we want in, and okay, you can come in next time. And it's just a vicious circle.
Well,
and you
what
have no
I think is that you take four, is it 435 House representatives up there, and 75% of those are Democrats who couldn't get elected as a Democrat in the states they're running in, so they became Republicans.
And that's, and you know, there's a lot more truth to that than I like to admit. And I mean, I remember when I was running for Orange County Mayor, someone said, well, you know, if you go and change your party affiliation, you'll get elected. Like,
exactly.
So that's who I am.
That's what Perry did. And I can name about a dozen others sitting up there in our legislature. That's what they ran as Democrats, and they couldn't get elected, so hell, they became a Republican. Why not?
Well, our sheriff here in this county knew that if he was going to get elected sheriff, he had to run as a Democrat, and he ran as a Democrat and went up to the reservation and handed out hot dogs and Cokes and got elected. But he will not rescind the law enforcement authority that he's given to the Forest Service. And as a result, they're closing 30% of the roads here, or they're going to. They've already done it in Coconino County, I'm told. I get a lot of emails from some people over there I met during the campaign in Coconino County, and they're madder than a hornet over there because they've closed a bunch of their roads down. I said, well, if you don't have a county sheriff, and you don't have a county board of supervisors that know the law, you're going to lose your forest. And eventually they're going to turn it into a wilderness area. Then it'll grow up with timber, and then it'll burn.
Well, that's like we've got a weenie here in my county for a sheriff, and he ran again, and no one ran against him. I said, if I'd known that, hell, I'd have thrown my hat in the ring.
Hey, I'd take you for sheriff any day over some of these others, you know.
Well, I went to him with the UN Agenda 21 and tried to explain to him what was going on and gave him all the information, all the documents, been sending him stuff. He hadn't done anything, and he's not going to do anything.
No. Well, there's too many, and unfortunately,
what we could do at the local level if we could get enough people together. At the local level, in your smaller towns and I guess I could say cities, if we would do one thing, and I think they did this in a couple of communities up in California, and I stopped it from happening in this community, and that's unincorporate.
Yeah.
Unincorporate. Remember the signs that you used to see when you'd come into a particular town when you were traveling, and you'd say, we have the Green River Ordinance, or this town is unincorporated or whatever. Well, you know, these bureaucrats in D.C. figured out years ago if they could incorporate all those communities, they could control them. And then they could start these agendas that they talk about with sustainable development, smart growth, Agenda 21, and all this other nonsense. Once you put that corporate seal on a community, they're pretty much toast.
Well, now the thing with UN Agenda 21 is it's easily stopped. First, you don't re-sign the contract that goes with the APA person they sent in to revamp your city.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is done through NGOs, non-governmental organizations.
Right, right.
So
right.
All you have to do is tell them no.
Yep.
Go to hell. Get out of here. We're not doing this.
Supposedly, we've done that now in Navajo County, and I think they're still working over in Apache County trying to get it through, promising a bunch of money for this, that, and the other, and this sustainable development thing. But anyway, you know, you can stop that at the local level. There's so many things that we can end at the local level.
Well, I discovered something here, though, and I don't like what I'm thinking is taking place, but Isla City is being sucked in, and their money, their grant money and everything is coming from the Texas Agricultural Department.
Well, but it's coming from the Fed.
And I'm going, do what?
They're just using Texas Ag as a vehicle.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know Perry knows what's going on if the Texas Ag Company department is handing out grant money for them to redo our downtown and tear up our streets and put in streetcars.
Oh, I'd love to get into the issue here with our fire department, but I won't. We've got some of the finest trucks in the world. And they've saved, since I've been here 10 years, I think they've saved one structure and three slabs.
Oh, my God.
But see, that's another part of this Agenda 21, sustainable development, and that's creating fire districts.
Right.
Once you've created this fire district, man, you know, they wanted me to run for County Board of Supervisors here, and I said, you got to be kidding me. It'd be a 1-4 vote every time, because I would be every meeting. I'd be working to destroy the fire districts, to kill them. Go back to the volunteer fire departments.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Why I keep saying, you know, I got to get out of the metropolitan area kind of thing. Get out into the country where you do have a volunteer fire department, where you actually have a community, where you have people who actually take care of each other kind of thing, and get out of this crap with what the
and make sure they're unincorporated.
Yep, unincorporated.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there used to be places unincorporated Orange County, but it's just like you said, they've gone out there and grabbed their hand as much as they can. The city of Orlando goes out and takes up more land. It's like there's no reason the city of Orlando has to go any further than where they already are, except that they want to get tax money and have control over you and everything else. And it's like you people are just so disgusting. You're about as anti-American as it gets. You know, and then you deal with the people, the voters, you know, but we do get the government we deserve. You take a look at what this government is, and you take a look at how this culture has declined in various ways, and it's depressing.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got about 15 minutes left here. Any other things you want to talk about specifically on the campaign? Make sure people, of course, give the website, as always, and just any kind of a wrap-up you want to make sure we get out there before we finish up here?
Let me see if there's a guy on there from Kingman. Paul, are you on? Are you listening? If you are, hit one. Tell me what's going on up there in Kingman.
Must not be.
Must not be. He told me he was going to be listening in, so... They've got some issues going on up there in Kingman that are just, they'll make your hair hurt, and they've been working on them, but anyway. Well, if there's no more questions, Sally, what I got to say is we've got to hit this thing hard at every level we can think of. We need to promote as many different organizations, if you will. I hope somebody down there can get a hold of Tom and maybe get him to do a little deal on it. I know he concentrates on Agenda 21, but I know he loves this country. I have not gotten back with Dale down at teapotterty.org. I probably ought to do that and see how their deal in Dallas went last weekend or this past weekend. and see if he's you know, he talked like he was going to send out to their membership, and it's just, we got to get everybody on board and push as hard as we know how, and I think we can do it.
I just think the fact that Donald Trump is out there in this again, and Mark Levine and some of these others, just the fact that they're saying anything about it right now as we have kicked this thing off, I just think it speaks volumes that this is going to go someplace big time here. I think it's going to really go.
Trump won't back off. He's not going to back off.
No. Excellent. Well, Doreen, have you got any last words of wisdom you want to share with us for tonight?
Yeah, to the listeners out there, don't, if you're sitting there saying, well, this isn't going to work, the only reason this won't work is because you're sitting there saying this won't work and you're not doing your part. Forward the email. Put your signature on the bottom of it. Then send it to everybody in your mailing list. At least you've done your part. If it doesn't work, it won't be because you didn't try. But if it doesn't work, it's going to be because you didn't try. That's all I've got to say.
Exactly. Together we can take care of this. We have to. It's not a choice. We have to. We have got to get back to the Constitution. And I'll tell you, it just, I've been ranting on that enough, I guess, for tonight. But, excuse me. We've got to, maybe we'll see about having another update next Wednesday. I'll sit in that if we decide to do that. And, Bruce, do you think you want to plan on having another update next Wednesday, or do you want to schedule whatever? You know, it's kind of up to you.
Well, let's see what our activity level is, and maybe decide on Monday.
Okay.
See what kind of, what continues to happen across the media spectrum. I'd like to see a lot more hits on that site than I'm seeing, and you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, what Doreen was saying. You can't expect other people to carry the water for you, and this is your country, and if you got grandkids, man, you better get involved with this, because another 4 years of Obama and this isn't going to be America anymore. I mean, you know, I was listening to a show the other day, and these guys that know were saying there's more economic freedom in Russia right now than there is, and even with all the corruption over there, if you want to do something. I mean, we've got ranchers across the United States that have opened ranches in Russia and Brazil. And are doing very well. And why? Because they're not having to put up with this stupid nonsense that the Department of Ag comes. I mean, forcing 14 kids to get a CDL license to work on a farm. If some sucker had come out to my folks' farm and said, "You're going to have to put your son in a class so he can learn how to run that their tractor." My old man would have grabbed him by the neck and threw him off the place.
Yeah.
And you know, they finally shut that thing down because of public pressure. Okay, public pressure. Here we go again. We need public pressure. And
public pressure.
We shut down Lisa Jackson and that little stupid thing she had going. We can do this, but it's going to take public pressure. And
public
I can't
pressure and... And we're just asking them to do their job.
Yep. Carry your own water.
Yep. Okay. Well, we've got still about 10 more minutes if anyone's got anything to say, or we can go ahead and wrap it up for the night. I feel the momentum growing here. I'm quite happy that this is I just feel like this is going to happen. It would be so great, excuse me, if we could get a Mark Levine or, of course, Donald Trump to come on here and say the same thing, but I won't quite hold my breath on that happening. But the main thing is, we're out there. We're the Americans that are going to do this, get the job done. United, we will stand, and that's really what it all comes down to. We have got to be united and believing in the Constitution and getting back to the Constitution. We have to demand it. And I'll tell you, it's going to be interesting because when I go and blitz Tallahassee, and I'm going to blitz Tallahassee, every one of them is going to get this. I've done it before, between emailing it and faxing it to them and possibly mailing it to them too. I don't know. They're going to hear about it. And then the other is we're going to keep pushing on this media. Again, we're focusing on Obama, but people have to understand the media is a critical part of this thing. Excuse me. Why we haven't got this message out there now is because the media is in cahoots with the political parties and the powers that be, and they fail. They totally fail to do their job under the FCC regs. Excuse me. Of serve the public interest, and it's really it's beyond that they don't serve the public interest. They truly are going against the public interest. What they did with Ron Paul this week, you know, I mean, it's just so disgusting to hear them say, oh, Romney's locked it up. That's all they said. They would not even say Ron Paul's name. That's how scared these people are of Ron Paul. They would not even say his name, and it is a lie because the delegates can vote however they want to in Tampa, and there's a lot of them. Ron Paul has had a lot more people at his rallies than what Mitt Romney has, but, of course, the media is bought and paid for. And so we're going to have to put pressure on them, too.
I'd sure like to go to Tampa.
And you know
yeah,
what?
I'd like to be down there and see her all wound up. I bet that's a show to see. You got a red, white, and blue scarf you wear around your neck.
Well, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see my van, and you'll see how it's decorated. So I think that tells you a lot right there.
I get emails from Fred Thompson, and Fred Thompson was my hero back when he was running for office. I'm going to get him on our side.
That'd be great. Go for it.
Yep.
If you can.
Yep.
I guarantee you I will be in Tampa. I'm right here in Orlando. My brother lives in Tampa. I got a place to stay in Tampa, so I'll be over
Does
there.
Does he still have his radio show? Does Fred Thompson still have his radio show?
I don't know if he does or not. For some reason, in the last few weeks, I joined. He's up to something politically, and I joined his site, and I get emails from him all the time, so I'm fixing to get him involved in this with us if I can.
Excellent. All right, girls.
Okay.
Charlie,
okay.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Doreen, as always. And, Charlie, we'll probably be here next week, too. We'll probably give you another update, but thank you for tuning in, and please get involved. Take action. Do the right thing. It's all up to us. On that note, thank you again, and may God bless the USA. Good night.
Good night. Night.